Good evening again. I want to give you credit for most churches that I visit don't think that the evening service is important, but you are here, so I am blessed. So I thank you for coming, and I think that the Lord is going to work out things. Hopefully 3 years from now, if I come back, I'll see all these seats full. And I will thank the Lord for it. As usual, I declare to you my helplessness, I need help from the living God, so I'm going to ask God to help me as we bow our hearts to worship the great God of heaven and ask Him to speak to us as we look at His Word this evening. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word that we heard read by your servant. We are so grateful that You who made the heavens and the earth revealed your will to us. So we thank you for your revealed will. And we thank you that you have, Lord, asked us to know your will, the revealed one. And I am sure, Father, that the revealed will open up doors for me to know the specific will that you have for my life. So, Father, I pray that you will speak to us this evening and that you will help your servant, as helpless as I am, that I may speak the truth in love, that may your Spirit say things to your people here, and that they may, Lord, be blessed, convicted, rebuked, whatever you sense is necessary for them to become godly and holy. Bless your people here, in Jesus' name, amen. Some of the things that I wrote in this sermon is taken from a book by Thomas Boston. That's his name. All right. I read this book probably 5-6 years ago, and the points still go in my mind. And I think it is important for every person to know the story of man as God created him and the change that happens to him. So, as we have seen from the passage that our brother read, that the human nature will change 4 times from the beginning of creation till the end of the world. And when God created man, He created him in the state of innocence. Then man became corrupt, and the fall happened. Then God moved to save man from dying and going to hell. And so He sent Jesus Christ to this world. And Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose up again for our justification. And at the end, we see man in his eternal state when he dies, happy in heaven, or miserable in hell. And those are my interpretations of the points that are mentioned in the book. Because you see, when you preach to the people in the Middle East, you have to put the points as simple as possible so they can understand what you're talking about. Now, the first state that man goes through is the state of innocence. And the Bible says God made man upright or perfect. So in Genesis 5 verses 1 and 2, The writer says, when God created man, He made him in the likeness of God, male and female, He created them. So man was created perfect in the likeness of God, whose work is perfect. In this covenant, perfect obedience is required. Life was the thing promised, and death is the penalty. God made this covenant with man, and man's only duty was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God made Adam Lord over the world, gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the air, and God put all things under his feet. So man became governor over the earth. Now let's have some fun with this. You watch TBN sometimes. You want to have fun, you watch TBN. And I was watching one time Benny Hinn talking about this passage. And he says, when he was asked, he says, well, God made Adam like Superman. And they asked him, how can you say that from the scripture? And he said, yeah, look at this. God made Adam Lord over the world, gave him dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bird of the air or the fowl of the air. So Adam has the ability to fly, otherwise he wouldn't have dominion over the birds of the air. Very good common sense logic. And biblically right. You see? It's amazing how we can take scripture and twist and play just to do whatever we want. Deceive people. Man was created with a free will to do good. But his will was also free to do evil. This happy couple, Adam and Eve, lived in perfect harmony and friendship. Man did not get sick, did not know pain, did not get tired. He worked and he was very happy. Man was immortal. He would have never died if he had never sinned. But man decided to disobey God. So the fall came and man became sinful. Sin entered the world, and we are all sinful. So the fall came, and man fall from his original state of righteousness, and we are all sinful. After the fall, man's nature became corrupt. Very much corrupt. There is now a very sad change in the nature of man. Very sad change. At first, there was nothing evil. Now, there is nothing good. Man was created in the likeness of God. This holy and righteous God made a holy and righteous creature. But fallen Adam begot a son. Not in the likeness of God, but in his own likeness. This means a corrupt and sinful Adam begot a corrupt and sinful Walid, a corrupt and sinful son. So sinful Adam became mortal. We are going to all die. So he began this world and we get sinful people. So he begot a mortal son. So sin and death passed to all. That's what happened to us. Because of man's unbelief and rebellion against God, they were driven out from the garden. Because of sin, they lost the state of innocence. Women get pain in childbearing and submission of the wife to her husband. The ground was cursed, and the result is hard labor for man. And both were separated from God. King David said, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's a terrible state man lives in. So in conclusion, man became by nature a child of wrath. Man in his natural state is altogether corrupt. Look at yourselves. This natural corruption spread into all man's faculties. Everything in me is corrupt. Therefore, corruption is found in my understanding. It is found in my will, in my conscience, in my memory. Everything in me is corrupt. Paul in Romans 3 and verses 10 and 11 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Nobody wants God. Nobody loves God. Nobody is after God. Nobody seeks for God. No one understands. No one seeks after God. And so on and so forth. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul tells us that man's mind and conscience are defiled. Terrible. In Romans 8:7, Paul says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God." There is also in the mind of man a natural tendency to lies and falsehood. We were born liars. You don't have to teach your kids to lie and cheat and do all these things. They have those. Who broke the glass? Not me. Who did that? Not me. It's in us. Before the fall, the will of man was faithful to God and ruled for him. Now the will of man is against God and rules for the devil. Instead of believing those health and wealth and prosperity preachers that you are little gods, I think you are little devils. That fits everybody else. So sin became man's love. That's what I loved, is my sins, my drug addiction. I never wanted God in my life. If they tell you that I was seeking, I was looking, I was a man that is looking for God, that is not true. I was not. Man is not willing to part from his sin. Jesus said in John 5:40, "You refuse to come to me that you may have life." That's what you were telling us this afternoon. Man loves what he should hate and hates what he should love. Man glories in shame and is ashamed of glory. You know, you can see that from your kids. When they are stealing something or doing something bad, he's a big macho man. I did kick him. They're glory in shame. But when we start talking about Jesus, nobody wants to hear. We're ashamed of these things. Man became a slave to sin, and a child and a servant of the devil. That's reality. That's our life. But God, who is rich in mercy, decided to save man and to bring us to the state of grace. The way the world lives today is very corrupt. Look at what's happening in the world. Wars, Matthew 24 is being in front of you fulfilled. You know, have you seen the people in Somalia? Very skinny. They don't have food to eat. Sometimes they eat flies. Can you believe that? It's terrible. If you go to Ethiopia, we had a friend over there that has a leather factory. He makes shoes and other things over there. And people come up to him and say, "Brother, you have a factory. Here, take my daughter. Just give her food to eat. And you can use her and abuse her and do whatever you want." That's life. In some countries in the Middle East, like those rich people, they bring servants from the Philippines, Ethiopia, Far East. And those servants, when they come to their country, they take their passports and they put them in their house and they lock the door so they cannot run away. And many of those girls will be raped in their houses where they work and live. That's because you have the money. Do you know the golden rule that Jesus gave us? Do you know that? Do unto others what you want others to do to you. It is changed in the world today. The golden rule is, he who has the gold makes the rule. And that's it. God, who is rich in mercy, decided to save us and bring us into fellowship with him. The state of grace. It begins with the recovery of the human nature. You becoming born again. The Spirit of God lives in you. And he leads you and directs you. And your conscience is alive now. And God tells you, this is wrong, this is right. In order for man to be in the state of grace, man must be born again. And you guys, young people here, mommy and daddy, if they are Christians, you cannot go to heaven on their account. You must be born again, you yourselves. Young girls, boys, girls, everybody. You can grow in a church like this. And you can be a moralist. And you can be such a nice person. Everybody will love you. But don't make it to heaven. Be careful. You must be born again. All men in the state of grace are born again. All men. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. You are born again, not of perishable seed, but if imperishable through the living word and abiding word of God. We have been born sinners. Everyone. I mean, they lie to you when they tell you, "Oh, look, she's an angel." She's not an angel. We are born sinners. We must be born again to become saints. Man must be regenerated and renewed. You must become a Christian. You must repent Regeneration is a real change where man is now a new creation. The old man is put off, the new man is on. That's he that is born again has a supernatural change. Something, the best thing that will ever happen to you is that you become a Christian. And that you know that you are a Christian. Born of the Spirit. So light enters in my understanding. So that I become a Christian. I understand the gospel. I who was once in darkness, living in darkness, doing what the devil wants me to do, now I live in the light of the Lord. That's an amazing light. The will of man is now renewed. The Lord took away the heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. So your will becomes inclined to the will of God. You love to do His will. Also, your conscience is renewed when you are born again. Your conscience, the conscience is enlightened. It was sleeping before. And now it woke up. And it will say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You become a different person. You know, for 17 years I was on drugs. 17 years. And I had to cheat and steal and lie and do all these things in order to feed my habit. And one day God came into my life. The lights came on. And I understood the gospel. I needed help. And there is no man on earth that could help me. I had a young lady from California, very rich. I mean, her daughter was a drug addict. The age of these young boys over here. She just finished high school and she's on drugs. Every day she goes and she wants to do drugs. They buy a fix and they go do drugs. And she sent her to so many places, paid so much money, thousands of dollars, so that she can recover. It doesn't work. The moment she gets out, she gets very weak. And she goes back. And she works in the Middle East. And I was preaching there one day and she came up to me as I was giving my testimony to young guys like this about drugs. And she said, "I'm going to fly my daughter out from California so that she can hear you." I said, "Ma'am, I cannot help you. I really can't help you. You need Jesus in your life. That's the only person that can help you. You need Jesus. And then when you get born again, call me." But she brought her daughter anyway. She knocked my door. And she said, "Here, talk to her." And I talked to her. But it goes from here, it comes out from here. She was dreaming when I was talking. She's in love with her sin. She doesn't want God. And how can I explain it to her? But death and hell is waiting for you. That's all I can tell her. Death and hell is waiting for you. I overdosed in the park. And everybody that was around me left. They were afraid. And that is in California. In 5 minutes, the police will be there. But God woke me up. And I walked home. And I got healed. And saved. But it was a supernatural work of God. The person that is saved, united to Christ, gets a great blessing from this union. You guys make sure that you become Christians. Look at the benefits of the born-again Christian united to Christ. I'll give you 3-4 of them that blesses me. The sinner is justified by the union with Christ. Now many pastors don't like this, but I say it anyway. I mean, to explain justification, I am not a theologian, I'm just a simple preacher. And I heard many say this, justification, just as if I have never sinned. I'm justified. That's the benefit. But I can say there is no condemnation for me. I'm justified. My sins are pardoned. My guilt, the guilt of them is removed. I'm not guilty anymore. It's finished. Tetulistai. That's a great benefit. I can rest in that. The second benefit that I get through my union with Christ is peace. Everybody is looking for peace, but there is no peace for the wicked. Can't have peace unless you become a Christian. Romans 5:11, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peace. It is so important. I was always worried, troubled. Where am I going to get my next dollar to buy my drugs? Always worried that the police will get me. I will tell you something. Now I know that Pastor Mike believes that God speaks to you through His Word. My story is, I was caught in California by the police, going to get a fix for a hooker. And we went to the drug dealer, and that day, the police was waiting for people that will come to buy fix. And as the girl went up to buy the fix, he got me there. And he made me sit on the sidewalk with my shorts and t-shirt. And it was so cold. And at that time, God was dealing with me to bring me to Christ. And I started all of a sudden praying. I don't pray normally, but this comes. And I said, oh God, if you deliver me out of this, I will never do it again. And then when she came down, He checked her hands because she couldn't find the man. He ran away. But he checked her hands for marks. And he checked my hands. And then he saw the marks on her hand and he didn't see anything on mine because I did not start yet doing needles. And he told me, get rid of her. Don't go out with people like this. I mean, as if God was speaking to me through this policeman. And then he let me go. And then 2-3 months later, the same girl came to my house and said, please, please, I want a fix. And I said, no, I don't do that. But she said, I won't sleep with you. Then I became weak and went with her. And I got caught again. Not by the same police, but a different one. And I started crying. I started crying and I said the same thing. God, if you deliver me, I will never do it again. And I'm telling you the truth before God. I heard the same voice from God saying in my heart, you told me that last time. And I couldn't but cry. And God saved me from the policeman. Though he took my name, my number, my address and everything on a card, white card that they have. And he puts it in his pocket. But he never took me to jail. And I went home and I found the owner of the apartment that I'm living in. I didn't pay the rent, so he threw everything out on the street. It doesn't happen in California. You will sue him. But he threw everything out for me. And I took my things and left. And nobody saw me again because all the drug addicts in the world knew where I live. Then I had to leave. And I started going to church. It's all supernatural. It all is an act of God. When you become united to Christ, many good things happen to you. The third thing is adoption. I, being united to Christ, became a child of God and a member of His family. God has only one son, but you are adopted into His family. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But to all who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. I am a child of the living God now. I'm so blessed. The fourth benefit is sanctification. It's a process that the born-again Christian goes through to become holy. You have to go through, and it happens through trials. Sanctification involves growing. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. We all have to change and grow. The person being sanctified will produce fruit. If you don't produce fruit in your life, you better question, are you a Christian? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Do you see fruit in your life? Many people ask me, how do I know I am born again? How do you know you are born again? I say, I mean, you ask this question as if you are asking me, is the grass green? Of course it is. Is the Pope Catholic? Of course he is. Would you know if there is a light in your heart? Are you interested in the knowledge of God? Have your eyes seen your sinful state? Have your eyes seen King Jesus through His Word? I mean, have you seen King Jesus in His beauty, in His wisdom, His majesty through His Word? Is there a change in your will? Is Jesus everything in your life. Do you hate sin? Do you have peace with God? Are your desires after God? Is your body consecrated to the service of God? Now you tell me, are you born again? Christians who are saved by the grace through faith are united to this Lord that they love and cherish. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. We should be obedient. I came to do the will of my Father. I should imitate my Lord. If you do not keep His commandments, you lie and the truth is not in you. I mean, Scripture says all these things. I did not. Being born again is the issue. Examine yourself. See that you are in the faith, young people. The last state that man goes through is the state of eternity. We're all going to die. Everyone will die. All men must die. Death is imminent and it's coming. Look at my hair. The human being consists of perishing material. Dust thou art, and unto dust you will return. In the day that you will eat of the fruit of the tree, dying you will die. Everyone will die, young, old, everyone. Today young people are dying. You have a lot of people aborting babies in this country. Death. There is a time to be born and a time to die. We're all going to die. The Apostle James asked the question, what is life? Then he answers, it's just a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Since we know that man will die, we should look at the difference between the righteous and the wicked in their death. There is a big difference. If you read Psalm 73, here's the psalmist says, I look at the wicked and I am jealous. My feet almost slipped because I saw everything in their life real good. They become fat. They have a lot of money and a lot of things. The only way I woke up is when I looked at the end of man. I saw what's happening to them. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, judgment. If we look at the state of the godly in his death, it is a hopeful state. Death can do them no harm. They will have a joyful entrance into glory, into eternity. Are you a Christian? The resurrection unto life is promised to the righteous. Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the graves shall hear his voice and they will come out. And then he says that those who are not saved on this side and those who are saved on this side, and then many will hear, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Damnation. Eternal damnation. a place where there is no light. A place where the fire does not quench and the worm will not die. A fearful place. That's the place where the evil, the wicked is going to. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me. Depart from me. That's amazing. You don't want to hear that. Depart from me. You cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil. It wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Where are we going? The $1 million question. Where are we going? There are two groups only. The saved and the unsaved. The wicked and the righteous. Where are you going? Today, if you hear his voice, the Bible says, do not harden your heart. What can I say? You must have heard this million times. And you who come here every Sunday, and many times during the week too, and are not saved yet, what is your excuse? How can you love two masters? You can't. You have to love either God, or your job, or money, or women, or men, or booze, or drugs, or whatever you love above God, more than God. That's your God. Who is your God? You tell me. Why are we so busy trying to make ends meet when we forget about God? Let's labor. The day is coming when he will come, and many will cry. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? How many did enter in? They were 10, and they were in church. They all claimed to be Christians, but only 5 went in. The other ones were foolish. Don't be the foolish ones. Carry your sword. Always look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let him guide you. Let the Spirit in you assure you that you are a child of God. Make sure you need Jesus, every one of you. You need Jesus. Are you teaching your children? Are you responsible? That's to your conscience. And every time I speak to people in this country, we are hot on soccer and basketball and baseball, and it all comes to be on Sunday because the leagues are on Sunday. Just don't worry about that. Go for Jesus. Love him with all of your heart. Teach your kids that this is the Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not in playing soccer. Please be careful. You know how he's coming back? Just like a thief in the night when nobody expects. And I pray that you will be ready. He told us this world is going to perish and the elements of it. And then he tells us, if you believe this, what manner of people ought you to be in godliness and holiness? I preached a sermon to pastors one day that don't believe. Because your life will show me that you believe Scripture or you don't believe Scripture. And the Scripture says, if you believe He's coming and this world is going to end and everything is going to perish, what manner of people we ought to be waiting and expecting and loving and understanding, sober-minded, alert, ready. Are we ready? God is coming back for you. All is His story. History is His story. He's everything. So, love Him. Believe His word. Most people don't believe His word. Believe His word. Believe His promises. I believe His promises. Whatever He said, I believe. That's the way we should be always. I want to thank you for your patience, your support for us. We have bought many Bibles from the money that you sent. 4,000 or 5,000 Bibles were bought from the money that Pastor and your deacons sent us, and it all goes to Muslims. And so I want to bow down before our God for your generosity and help. And he who does these good things will be rewarded in glory. Continue the good work. And may God bless you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.